authentic Christianity. That is, a Christianity that is faithful to the words and teaching of Jesus is simply inconceivable without reference to the end of the world. Jesus preached insistently that his birth, his life, his death and resurrection ushered in the end time, the end of the ages, the final era of this passing world. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. Now, his first coming as a helpless child in Bethlehem took place in poverty and in total obscurity. But his second coming will be manifest to the whole world in terrible glory and righteous judgment. As Jesus declares in today's gospel according to Mark, "Amen, amen, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place." And he further warned that as the day of wrath approached, there would be dreadful signs and portents. The sun would be darkened. The moon would not give its light. The stars would fall from the sky, and the powers of heaven shaken. These predictions from sacred scripture are confirmed by the predictions of modern science. The scientific community agrees that it's not a matter of if, but rather of when. They say this world and this temporal interval that we commonly take for granted will certainly one day be destroyed, if not by a falling asteroid or a crashing comet, perhaps by means of a gamma ray burst or the approach of a rogue black hole. Scientists also describe the inevitability of pandemics, of radical climate change, of super volcanoes, massive earthquakes, and mega tsunamis. Faith, science, and human experience all teach us the same bracing message. Nothing lasts forever. Peoples and cultures disappear. Nations and kingdoms rise and fall. The best achievements, the loftiest dreams, even the most cherished of our human relationships, all end in the passage of time. From Fra Angelico to pornography, from the Sistine Chapel to a rusting junkyard, all finally will end in fire. So the Lord wisely instructs us, learn a lesson from the fig tree. When its branches become tender and sprout leaves, you know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, know that the great judge of the living and the dead is near, even at the gates. This generation of grace will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the life-giving words of Jesus will never pass away. But as for knowledge of the exact day or hour, that will only be revealed by God the Father. Now, the difference between the end-time warnings of Jesus and the end-time warnings of science has a lot more to do with their meaning than with their specific details. Atheism posits our human existence in a random and indifferent universe. In determined denial of the obvious intentionality of the vast and complex cosmos, clearly designed for life, filled with stunning singularities and breathtaking splendor, these proponents of meaninglessness recognize no moral purpose in our human existence or in the eventual destruction of the temporal world. But Jesus the very Word of God, who first created everything out of nothing, and who also fully shared in our humanity, both in life and in death, Jesus teaches us that our lives on earth and in time have profound meaning and eternal significance. He offers us hope in the sure and certain promise of a new heaven and a new earth in that world that is yet to come. Jesus proclaims that all reality will be redefined and that the end will surpass the beginning, that the best is yet to come. As today's second reading reminds us, Jesus is now seated in glory at the right hand of the Father. Now he awaits until his enemies have all become his footstool. Or as today's second reading from the prophecy of Daniel says, many of those who sleep in the dust of earth shall awake. Some shall live forever, while others shall be an everlasting horror and disgrace. Now, all these end-of-the-world readings always occur near the end of fall, near the end of our liturgical year. The harvest, after a long delay, is nearly all gathered in. Winter approaches, and the days grow shorter, and the nights grow longer. This Catholic Diocese of Peoria assembles at exactly this time of year for an annual celebration of the harvest and of our recognition of the generous service and Christian witness of our fellow believers. And I'm the one who gets to try to tie together these most challenging scriptures with this most happy occasion. But as is often the case in the solemn cadences of our ancient and instructive Catholic liturgy, perhaps the message of the end time does have much to say about generous men and women, the folks we honor here today. Remember another passage from Daniel. The wise shall shine brightly in the splendor of the firmament, and those who lead the many to justice shall be like stars in the heavens. Now, there have always been wars and rumors of wars and a full measure of economic crises and natural disasters in the passing instant of our human existence. But in this fragile experience of life, we should never be afraid. Instead, through our abiding faith in Jesus and our unwavering confidence in his words, our lives should be set free, liberated from what is foolish and finally unimportant, and more focused on what is significant, eternal, and leads us to heaven. No one is able to enjoy this life more than Christians, because life for us is only a prelude to an infinitely better eternal life to come. We can savor the good times, and we can get through the bad times, because we have been gifted with Christ's own faith, his unsurpassing hope, and his tremendous love. The folks we honor here today are living witnesses to the rich meaning of Christianity, where men and women try to imitate Jesus through their generous service and self-giving. Our honorees, both past and present, are the true heroes of this diocese. They have shown solid faith in the good news. They serve the church, both when it is easy and when it is hard, in season and out of season. They have fed the hungry, clothed the naked, welcomed the stranger, cared for the sick, built up a vocation, a culture of vocation in our community of faith. With assurance, they have gone on building up the body of Christ, which is the church, in anticipation of a glorious fulfillment not yet seen. They teach us by example not to be conformed to a world that is passing away, but conform to a world that will never end. At every Mass, we are given both the promise and a foretaste of that greatest possible happiness. In the Eucharist, we have already begun to share in the wondrous inner life of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Here at the table of the Lord, there is no darkness, but instead light. Here there are no more tears or wailing or crying, but rather the chanting of angels and the songs of the saints. Here there can be no despair, only grace and peace. Here, even in this world that is dying, we may listen to our Master's eternal words of great comfort and consolation. Here at Mass, we are never separated from those who have gone before us, but we are united with them through the prayer of Jesus, our High Priest. Here, there is no hunger, but rather the bread that has come down from heaven, the richest possible satisfaction of tasting and seeing the goodness of the Lord. Here is the culmination of an old world and the beginning of a world that will never end, assured by the life, death, and rising of our victorious Savior. Here is Jesus, who is coming soon, the beginning and the end of all things, announcing recompense according to our deeds. The people of God pray without any fear, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." God's church cries out, standing on tiptoes with wonder and expectation, "May grace come and this world pass away." The ancient cry of the apostolic church was, "Maranatha, amen, come, Lord Jesus."